All right. The teaching tonight is going to be on a remarkable life. I finished a book. Can I zoom in on that? This is a woman called Lillian Trashuk. She was born 1887 to 1961. This book is called The Greatest Wonder in Egypt. She went off by herself into Egypt and started an orphanage. Right? And after I read the book, I said, this is a remarkable woman. And I started thinking of all of us, we don't have to, but aspire to be a remarkable person. You know, it's nice to be a very good person, but we can, and Yahweh has given us skills to become to live a remarkable life. All right, so that's what our subject's going to be about tonight. Her prayer, which is very interesting, she said this twice when she was a little girl, and then she was in the woods at the same place and knelt down again. She says, if ever I can do anything for you, just let me know, and I will do it. That's such a simple prayer. If anything that, you know, now all of us can say, can we say that to our Father? If ever I can do anything for you, just let me know, and I will do it. And you're like, okay. Working for the Creator has got to be the most precious opportunity in life. Right? We live in a seen world that's surrounded by an unseen universe. All right, so there are things all around us in this room right now that we can't see. Can you move that chair? That bothers me. Cricket, can you stay there? It's out of place.
I know. Me too.
All right. So we got to realize this life is 70, 80, 90, 120 years. All right, then it's out. But there's another life out there. There's another world that's going on instantaneously with our world. And we can interact in that world. We're supposed to interact in that world. That's what she ended up doing and becoming a remarkable person. That's what we just did by manifesting, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, was we interacted with that world. She walked out in faith by the leading of our Father. Prophecy and tongues of interpretation is also working out in faith. And we've got to look at, there's very few people, if you look at the population of Christians, how many people actually do 1 Corinthians 14? You know, when you think about it. And so, in this little circle right now, by even doing that, makes us remarkable. Alright? And that's not for just now, it's through the centuries, because of people's absolute rejection of refusing to do what our Father gave us to do. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, and I want you all to speak in tongues. All the apostles were Pentecostals, right? Is that what we call today? Alright? And it's amazing how Pentecostals are separated now, but you have to say, were all the apostles Pentecostals? Yeah. Huh. Not in the world. We're not. Yes, that's true. Alright. We had a deal. We made a deal with our Father. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5 for salvation. For age, for life, age abiding. So here's what our deal is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15. Whenever we're asking anybody for salvation, or not asking, but we're inviting people to make Yahushua the Lord and believe in your heart that Yahweh raised or woke him from the dead, the word is actually Yadiro, awoke him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But in that particular verse, that alone, there's no strings attached, and that's not faith. Alright? So there's something else they need to know. And by making this statement, if you're my Lord, then I'm going to do what you ask me to do. That's what lordship's all about. And so if I made Christ my Lord, then if I'm an alcoholic, and I say, okay, you're going to quit drinking. No, I'm not. But then you're not a Christian, and you're not saved, because you can't say, you're my Lord, and keep carrying on the same lifestyle that you have. you can go ahead and slip and make mistakes, but you cannot do that because otherwise he was never your Lord. All right? And look at his lordship. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died. And in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live, us, no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. So here's the deal. You want life age abiding? Christ said, I died for you. Here's what I want from you. Here's your part of the deal. Your part of the deal is that you no longer for yourself should live, but for me, who died in your behalf and awoke. And you're like, deal. All right? Then we're not our own. All right? We are now on a mission for our Savior, our Lord. All right? Which is exciting. All right? And by doing such on this mission, we'll get a little picture of what the reward is, and that's Isaiah 65. And we're reading now the Rotherham Emphasized Bible. It's the world's most accurate Bible, as you're aware of. Let's see here. 65, verse 18. That's page 710. So here's the deal. You know, we got to get our eyes off of the seen world and start looking at the unseen world. Right. The people who do the lust of the flesh, future is their vision is in the future is about that long. All right. They can't see any future. They just live in the moment. That's why they satisfy the lust of the flesh so easily. And they're trapped and ensnared because they cannot abstain, because they cannot see that the reward is great enough to do them. So they live in the now and not in the future. All right? By looking at a reward, you know, it's like an IRA. There are people who save and do without a great percentage of their life so they can live very nicely with a retirement plan. And there's other people who do not do without and consume everything that they make, and those are the other people. But then when they get to their retirement, they are really, you know, actually dissatisfied because they can't retire. Why? Because you never do without. All right? You never abstain. And so there's nothing for you. There's no excess to do. So we've got to do the same situation, looking towards the future and what the reward is. So in verse 17, for behold me, creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be mentioned, neither shall they come up on the heart. But joy ye and exude perpetually in what I am about to create. As we go through this, I'm going to try to show people how to use a Rotherham a little bit better. See the word I there, the little mark on the right-hand side? That's an emphasis also. It's the lightest emphasis. All right. So if you don't have a Rotherham, you're not going to quite follow this. I want to show this to people. One other thing about Rotherham, he came up with the concept of a half comma. All right. He said a comma is overworked, and so he came up with a half comma. And so I'll show that to you right on verse 17. For behold me, exclamation point, creating new heaven, half comma, see, and a new earth, which is a regular comma. See the regular comma now? And so the beauty of our Father's Word, Rotherham saw it, but that's not the teaching, but I just want to point that out. Verse 18, but joy ye and exude perpetually, half comma, in what I am about to create. For behold me, isn't that great? He just said, for behold me twice. Right? Creating Jerusalem an exaltation and her people a joy. Remember one of the teachings that we had? Zion, in the correct pronunciation, is Zion, is Yahweh's future habitation, which is also Jerusalem. So Zion, Zion, Jerusalem, the same thing.
Zion.
Yes, yeah. This actually pronounced Zion.
Zion?
Yeah. And, you know, so I looked up on a Hebrew audio, and they pronounce it, both people pronounce it Zion. So Zion's not even close.
Yeah.
So it's Zion. Therefore will I exude in Jerusalem and joy my people, and there shall be heard in here no more the sound of weeping or the sound of a cry. Isn't that going to be great? There shall be henceforth forward no more the suckling of a few days or an elder who filleth not up his days, but a youth 100 years old may die. Yea, a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. So we had this time where maybe we could live like Adam did. People could live maybe 900 years old. Then shall they build houses and dwell in them and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another dwell. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people. Isn't that great? And the work of their own hands shall my chosen ones use to the full. They shall not labor in vain, nor have children for terror, for the seed of the blessed ones of Yahweh shall they be, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while yet they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed in unity, and the lion as an ox shall eat straw. But as for the serpent, dust shall be his food. They shall not harm, nor shall they destroy in all my holy mountain, which is Zion, saith Yahweh. So Jerusalem is built on a mountain. And that's also called Zion, or Zion. Alright? That is our future home. Alright? So there's a reward. Okay, so here's the deal. I do what you ask me to do. I live for you because you died for me. Okay, what's in it for me? There it is. Alright. I'll try to make sure I don't run over. Alright. Now also, we're going to look at the age that we presently live in, which is Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We have some great heroes or people who are remarkable. And we know Moses, Noah, you know, think of Noah building an ark. Was that difficult? Yeah. Was that strenuous? Yes. Was it something he probably didn't want to do? Yes. Alright? He's in history and his life and his whole family was rewarded for that. So, he lived in a different age and a different time period, which is a lot more difficult than our time period, because all of us now have Ruach, Holy Ruach, and we're in the age of the sacred secret. Christ is our head, we are his hands and his feet and his mouth. So we're going to kind of sum that up in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. And why doesn't somebody read till verse 9? 1 to 9.
I will.
Chapter 8, verse 1?
Yeah.
Hence there is now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set thee free from the law of sin and of death. For what was impossible by the law, in that it was weak through the flesh? Yahweh, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who, not according to flesh, do walk, but according to spirit. For they who according to flesh have their being, the thing of the flesh do prefer, but they according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For what is preferred by the flesh is death, whereas what is preferred by the spirit is life and peace, inasmuch as what is preferred by the flesh is hostile towards Yahweh. For unto the law of Yahweh it doth not submit itself, neither in fact can it. They, moreover, who in flesh have their being, cannot please Yahweh. But ye have not your being in flesh, but in spirit, if at least Yahweh's Spirit dwelleth in you, and if anyone hath not Christ's Spirit, the same is not his.
I want to read 10 through 19. Might be a little difficult. I'll go ahead.
Okay.
For if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead by reason of sin, whereas the Spirit or Ruach is life by reason of righteousness. If moreover the Ruach of him that raised Yahushua from among the dead dwelleth in you, he that awoke from among the dead, Christ Yahushua, shall make alive. Let me make a statement. Whenever I see the word Egyro, so I've got Egyro written in every place it chooses, and they'll be using the word raise. It's actually the word awoke. That's what Egyro means. So I'm just going to say awoke instead of raised. He that awoke from among the dead, Christ Yahushua, shall make alive your death-doomed bodies through means of his indwelling Ruach within you. Hence then, brother, debtors we are, not unto the flesh, that according to the flesh we should live. For if according to the flesh you live, you are about to die. Whereas if in spirit or Ruach, the practice of the flesh, you are putting to death, you shall attain unto life. For as many as by Yahweh's Spirit are being led, the same are Yahweh's sons. For you have not received the Ruach of servitude, leading back into fear, but you have received the Ruach of sonship, whereby we are exclaiming, Abba, O Father. That's another thing I'll make an distinction to. Abba is Aramaic for father. Ab is Hebrew for father, so we use Hebrew. The Ruach itself, bearing witness together with our Ruach, that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, heirs also, heirs indeed of Yahweh, the co-heirs with Christ. If at least we are suffering together, in order that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that unworthy are the sufferings of the present season to be compared with the glory about to be revealed towards us. For the eager outlook of creation ardently awaited the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. That's the age that we live in. So we're living in a very blessed age of Ruach. We have the future hope of the new earth. And right now, we live in the United States, which we're very prosperous. All right. So in order to do the remarkable life, there's one thing that most of us aren't really comfortable with, and that is doing something that you do not want to do. That's the hook. All right. Only sometimes. All right. So we know Noah built an ark. All right. We want to do that. How about Abram and Sarah leaving the safety of the city? They did not necessarily want to do that, but they lived a remarkable life. Moses. If we've got time. Yeah, let's go to Exodus 3. Did Moses live a remarkable life? Yeah, absolutely. Was it an easy life? Absolutely not. Was he a person who would do things that he didn't want to do? Yes, absolutely he was. 3 verse 7. And I love this. Then said Yahweh, I have seen the humility, page 86. I have seen the humiliation of my people who are in Egypt, and their outcry have I heard by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their pains. Therefore have I come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to take them out of that land into a land good and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, sorry to Moses, now, therefore, lo, the outcry of the sons of Israel hath come up unto me. Moreover, also, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians are oppressing them. And what does verse 10 say, Elijah?
Now, thereof come thou that I may send thee unto Pharaoh, and bring thou forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt.
Oh, wait a minute. He just said, Yahweh just said, I was going to do this. He said in verse 7, he says, in verse 8, therefore have I come down to deliver them. Well, why don't you just go ahead and do that on your own and just kind of leave me out of this situation, because I'm 80 years old, living a pretty nice little life. And he said, okay, Moses, come on. It's me and you.
Is that a mouse in your pocket?
All right. And verse 11, what did Moses say to God, Elijah?
Moses said unto Yahweh, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the sons of Israel out of Egypt?
And verse 12?
And he said, I will be with thee, and this to thee shall be the sign that I have sent thee, when thou bringest forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall do service unto Yahweh upon this mountain.
Okay. He just said, come on, Moses, and I'll be with you. And that's with all of us. Yahweh is never going to ask us to do something that he has not equipped us with. And so I have to remember, do you think right now Yahweh and Christ's will is being done 100% in the world?
No.
How about in the United States?
No.
How about in Kansas? No. How about in Wichita, where we live?
No.
Do you think he needs some extra help? And then you can say, like this person, if ever I can do anything for you, just let me know. All right? That's all I need to hear. All right? Because there's work right here that needs to be done. With her particular case, it could be a person doesn't have to go to Africa. You know, she went to Africa. How about the person who financially supported her while she's in Africa? That's just as important as her being in Africa. Without the money coming in, she couldn't have done what she did in those situations. So there's so many facets of all of this. We just have to say, here am I, and as we're going to see, that was Isaiah, here am I, send me. How about Gideon? All right? We know what Gideon went through. Was his job easy?
No.
Was he a remarkable person?
Yes.
What he did with Yahweh, I guess that would be the point. It's not that we're remarkable. People with faith in Yahweh, who trust Yahweh, do remarkable things. So I guess I should rephrase that. But Lillian Thrasher did, and also we looked at David Livingstone. One thing, they were basically fearless, all right, which is a requirement, all right. And that one person said, Charles Stanley has a tape called Taking Risk. And he says, the faith walk requires taking risk. And guess what? Are you going to be afraid? Yes, you're going to be afraid. Could you potentially lose? Yes, you could potentially lose. That all comes with taking a risk. All right? Very simply. But if you're walking in fellowship and you know that you know that you know this is what Father has put on your heart to do, then go for it. And what Lillian said, which is a great testimony, where was that? Let me just do a little quote of hers. 184. She was at a meeting and said, at the end of her message, she challenged all those in attendance to make a start on what they felt Yahweh had told them to do and not to wait for all the pieces to fall into place first. So one thing you're going to find out about this book, she did not wait for the pieces to fall into place. How about Abram and Sarah? Were the pieces all together? Was there a map? He just said, go. Which direction? Just go. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I had a map of where I was going. Yes, but no. Trust me. How about Moses? Did he see the whole thing forward and backwards? No, and actually when he started, it was horrendous. Things got worse.
Noah building the ark.
Noah building the ark. Yeah. Rain came from the ground.
Yeah, and so Noah building the ark all those years. And so there's so many things you have to say, and that's faith, which is a certainty in the unseen world, as we are all children, to walk in that reality. But we must get quiet and know the revelation, because some people have thought they had a revelation and they did not, and they went on the wrong track and they incurred harm. Which they still have good intentions, which is great, so we've got to make sure we're on the right track and not just go off. Everybody go to Africa. But Gideon, and that's Judges 6, chapter 6, a very good testimony. Esther, sorry, Esther. Let's go to Esther 4, chapter 4. A courageous woman. And many times our walk, it appears to be a stumbling. And we don't even realize we're being guided. And I just listened to Esther on the Word of Prompts. And here was the king, if anybody knows the story, and he couldn't sleep one night. And he read the news and found out that Mordecai blew the whistle on two guys who are about ready to kill him. All right? He didn't realize his lack of sleep was Yahweh inspired. All right? He didn't realize he was following Yahweh's plan. And what should I do with this guy? And Haman, who was the arch enemy, had no idea of what was transpiring either. He told the king to put him on a horse and anything else, and it was Mordecai, his worst enemy. All right? Mordecai had no idea when he told Esther, don't tell him you're not a Jew at that particular time. All right, and so when you start going through all the particular stories of people who look like they're just kind of stumbling through life, that all was a plan, and they're all part of a big plan that probably none of them knew that they were actually part of it until it was all over. And that's many times could be our life. You're actually walking in a fellowship, and sometimes you're not going to know it for 10 years from now or 5 years from now, and maybe never know. But here is Esther. Okay, Esther 4, verse 12. And this is where the note was out, okay, we're going to kill all the Jews. All right? There's our adversary through Haman. And they told Mordecai the words of Esther that Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Because he said, Esther, go talk to the king. And Esther did not have the opportunity to talk to the king. And she did not, if she went without being called by the king, she could be put to death. All right? Mordecai said, go talk to him. She said, I can't. He hasn't called for me. So Mordecai is going to answer. Do not think in thy own soul to escape in the house of the king from among all the Jews. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace at this time, and many times that's our role too, is we're holding our peace when we're not supposed to hold our peace. All right? It takes courage to speak up. And if anybody's saying God is not dead, the whole movie is based upon a student who stood up, and which was very uncomfortable, something he didn't want to do, but it needed to be done, and this is the same way Esther's going to be in. Do indeed hold thy peace. At this time, respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained unto the royal estate. And that was right. Yahweh had Vashti in as part of his plan. Esther came in here. And according to Bollinger, Esther was the mother of Cyrus. Mm-hmm. And Cyrus was huge. Mm-hmm. All right. And so Cyrus is the one who said, let's go rebuild Jerusalem. Prophesied from Isaiah, and that's because of Esther. They said if that's the case, then the counselors of Cyrus was Mordecai, because he was in charge of Persia. It was Nehemiah. He was part of the king, in the book of Nehemiah, the king of Persia. It was Daniel also. These are all the advisors, and Esther as his mother. Look at all these Hebrews who surrounded the king of Cyrus to go rebuild Jerusalem. And all that was part of the plan. But Esther had no idea when it came to about. Let's see here. 15. Then Esther commanded to answer Mordecai, go, gather ye together all the Jews who are about to be found in Susan, and fast ye from me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day, and I and my maidens will fast so, and in this manner will I go in unto the king, though it is not according to the law, and when I have perished, I have perished. So she very said, if I die, I die. So Esther now is going to lay down her life to try to save the Jews. Was that a difficult thing to do? She could have kept her mouth quiet, all right, and possibly lived, you know, as a queen for the rest of her life. Now she just made a decision to die, to perish, or do what is right. And that's the same way with us and getting in the game. So Esther did something remarkable. Nehemiah did something remarkable. He fed these people, going back to build the walls in Jerusalem and Ezra, the temple. Who wants to go back? You're in Persia right now. You're living a good life. Who cares about Jerusalem? If Yahweh called him back and said, come and rebuild my house, and I will bless you. And that was not an easy thing to do. So that was all sacrifice they had to do. Now we'll go to Yahushua, Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. Now how about this? His job is to be crucified. Alright. 26, verse 36, page 30. Then Yahushua cometh with them into a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And talking with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be grieved and to be in great distress. Then said he unto them, encompassed with grief is my soul unto death. Abide ye here and be watching with me. God, isn't that something? Look at that. Encompassed with grief is my soul unto death. Tough job? Yeah, so all of us, if we decide to become remarkable, we're going to do things that we love, and we're going to do things that we don't love. Alright? Yahweh can get many people to do what people love to do. Alright? It's the tough jobs that he has a problem finding people to come around and volunteer for. 39, and going forward a little, he fell upon his face, offering prayer and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh in unto his disciples and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter, thus powerless are you 1 hour to watch with me? Be watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The Ruach indeed is eager, but the flesh weak. Look at that. And so he is standing up to the bat to say, okay, I'll do it. I don't want to do this, but I will do it. And that can be, Yahweh says, go reprove this person. I don't want to reprove this person. It's going to be havoc. It's going to be, they're going to hate me. They're going to kill, They're going to call me names. I could possibly not be their friends anymore. All right? Go do it. And that's what you have to say, yes, Lord, I will do it. All right? So we have to get up to the bat. We have Peter. Here's a good illustration. It's John 21. Verse 18. And you want to read verse 18, Elijah? And that's page 118.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast younger, thou unused to gird thyself and to walk whither thou didst choose, but when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out thy hand, and another shall gird thee and bear thee whither thou dost not choose.
And that's why I use it. Really, is when you're on lordship, you know, you're to that. I go where I want to go. I don't go where I don't want to go. Very simply, he says, "You are my servant. You're my apostle." So somebody's going to grab your hand and take you places you don't want to go, and that is the guiding of us. And so we have to be willing. They're all part of the deal. But if we take it, the rewards are incredible. Now, even just to say, God, what a great life. There are people who never venture, and they say never venture, nothing gained, and they and financially and socially and everything else, they are very content just to pass away on the earth. And guess what? Our Father is generally not going to miss them because they didn't have much of an impact in his life. All right? So we can be one of those people. We can pray and be nice, but we're saying, but all that other stuff, that's just not for me. All right, then we're going to be the losers in that situation, and so we've got to realize that there's so much out there of being remarkable, and so we can look at other people's lives, and I think people in this right here, you know, the thing about Shauna is remarkable because you're homeschooling children, because the school system that we're in right now is unrighteous, and so is that an easy way to go? No, that's not an easy way. That's the hard way to go. But that's what makes a person remarkable, and you're going to realize that. Your children will realize that. I think of two of those famous guys who were homeschooled.
And Tebow?
Yeah, Tebow and the K-State quarterback, too.
Kellen Klein.
Yeah, Kellen Klein. These guys were homeschooled. All right? And they are very appreciative of that. So that was it. Well, you know, Izzy went to Uganda, and that becomes remarkable. And then raising money for a school, an orphanage. You know, Aaron goes to Kenya, and that's remarkable. Aaron prophesies at the gym for people. You know, that's remarkable. So you think of it. So we're there right now in a capacity. And so we have to just say, is there anything that we're not willing to do that Yahweh has put on our heart? And if it's not, we're right where we're supposed to be. But we can all come down and say, if ever I can do anything for you, just let me know. I shall be on prayer every day. If everything I can do for you, just let me know, and I'll do it. All right? And if he says, yes, Donna, I've got something for you to do, and then you have to say, I'll do it. Oh, no. I'm being called on. That was like saying, how are you today? Well, I'm not doing very good. Oh, no, that wasn't a question. It was really just a statement. That Donna's remarkable. You know, her and Tim have done too. And Tim living through a death-defying thing. So we all have that. And so in our fellowship, if a person speaks sometimes and interpret anymore, it's remarkable. All right? Let alone, and read the Bible every day. Remarkable. I know John Quincy Adams read the Bible at least hour every day, first thing in the morning. And so he read through the Bible every year. And that's how he held it sacred. All right? Let's see here. Yeah, you can be bold on Facebook, like Wendy, and you can put great things on there because people are watching that. All right? Let's see. But we can kind of go to Isaiah, kind of finish off Isaiah 6:8. And Jeremiah, we're never going to be in the situation where Jeremiah was. There are some people who just seem like they got the wrong stick of life, you know? They're in a bad area, but they're going to be rewarded tremendously. But they didn't get a whole lot of bang in this life like we do. So we're blessed. And so, but there are people out there, maybe in China right now, or other countries, that are like a Jeremiah life. It's the death. All right? But here's Isaiah, which is a great situation. 6, verse 8. Then heard I the voice of my Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Isn't that cool? See the little accents on there? And so also when we read the robbery, I mean, if we slow down and start looking at the accents and the half commas and the commas, and just take it very slowly. Like I told Tim, you know, I can, you know, most time you can go through a regular Bible, not to teach it, but you go through the regular, just pick that up and just turn it off. Answer it and then hang up. There you go. If you go through, so I go right on through my park, all right? It's like reading a chapter of the Bible. Somebody said, I'm going to read a chapter of the book every day. Okay, that's like a run through the park, all right? If you get a regular Bible, there's no accents, there's no, you know, there's no emphasis, there's no figures of speech, there's no poetry, and you're not going to see anything. But there's the time to say, I'm going to walk, and then I'm going to stop right here, get on my knees, and look in the vegetation right here. Now, I'm not going through the whole park. I'm going to look, and all of a sudden I see clover, I see bees, and I see insects. I don't know what they are, and I see spider webs, and I see a whole world that I run past every day. Now, I'm never going to see that world unless I slow down. And the Rotherham is the perfect Bible to get you to slow down where you can, you know, in the emphasized, all right, when you can go through, spend an hour in a few verses or a chapter because you're just looking at the phraseology and you're looking at the figures of speech and you're looking at the emphasis and the grammatical inversions and how much effort, you know, him, you know, seeing this, you know, it's like the perfect botanist, all right, a naturalist walking through a forest and saying, look right here, and look right here, and look at this. Do you know what this buddy is here? Do you know what this is? This caterpillar stays right here. You see what's right here? See these tracks? And you're like, wow, what a tour guide. He's taking me through it. Well, he did that with the Rotherham Bible, if you start paying attention to it. All right. Even though we expect things, you know, okay, there's going to be hard things in life. I'm for it. All right. You know, send me in. All right. The one thing we're supposed to realize is the last part will be 1 Thessalonians 5, great verses to remember. We're not supposed to be walking around, sulking around with carrying a cross. All right? Woe is me, and I've got to do the bad stuff. All right? So whenever we look at the world and we automatically say, there's a lot of bad things going on right now, with the Obama administration, the Democratic Party, wickedness, I cannot let that keep me out of my Father's will. Because my Father's going to tell me, and 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Elijah, 2:11, page 2:11, well, let Israel say that.
5:16.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I mean, 5:16.
Evermore rejoice.
You just memorize a verse. And that is, now look at this.
Praying.
Evermore rejoice. Everybody else is going to say rejoice evermore. All right? But the emphasis is where?
Evermore.
Evermore. And that that's how the Greek has it. What's the second verse?
Ceasingly pray. Unceasingly pray.
Unceasingly pray. Everybody else is going to say pray unceasingly. The third verse is?
In everything give thanks.
All right, look at that. Okay. Each day, evermore rejoice. Well, okay. Unceasingly pray. And in everything, give thanks. All right? I just memorized three verses of the Bible. Isn't that neat? But what a motto to say, if I get depressed, I'm looking at something. Nope. Evermore rejoice. Evermore rejoice. I'm going to look at rejoicing. I'm going to look at this earth, the good stuff in it. Work against the bad, and also keep looking at that new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And then I can walk around like a sunshine. What are you so happy about? Because I've been told evermore rejoice. I ceasingly pray. And everything give thanks. All right, hallelujah. Okay. It's right about time. So, we'll end this session, and I'm going to give a prophecy, all right, to people who could be watching now or later. So, and this is according to 1 Corinthians 14. Words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Well, Father, we thank you for the people who are not at this meeting physically, but they are going to be on the internet, watching that now or in the future. And my children, as I called you from your birth to serve me, to walk forth righteously in the ways that I have told you to walk, to follow my son as I have told you to follow him. I want you to be not reluctant to walk forward, but be excited expectantly to run forward unto me. Because in my words and in my life is great wealth and great treasures and great comfort and great communion with me. Separate yourselves from the world and come unto me as I have designed you to live and abide within me and not be part of the world. So throw away the world, cast your cares towards me, and I will exalt thee as I did my son, as we walk hand in hand in fellowship, in order that you may be well pleasing in my sight, and that I may uplift you into the position you were called to live. Amen. Thank you, Father.